This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? My name's Chris Fairbanks.
My name is Karen Kilgara.
We are leaving Bob's Big Boy in Burbank.
Bob's Big Boy in Burbank.
And we're just driving through the parking lot before we pick up our guest. We found a beautiful painting. I'll just describe it. It's cloudy right now. Chance of sun later, 72 degrees. The painting is of a...
I'm getting that for Julie.
A man whimsically looking at a life not trapped on an island. The words love are in the sky, made out of clouds. And it was just left here. Because we like to give each one of our guests artwork that won't just inspire but cause them to laugh uncontrollably, because that was the most hilarious painting I've ever seen.
I wonder if Julian will laugh though, because it is 6:30 in the morning, and
it is 6:30.
It is he's going on a trip. I bet you my wager is that he'll immediately say, I can't bring that with me.
Oh, right. Well, you know, some people, when you see art and it inspires you, you bring it on an airplane.
That's right, no matter the size. I did that when we were at Bumbershoot. I bought some art in Bumbershoot because there was a guy there that would take paintings he got at the thrift store, and he would stencil in things like Chewbacca or Bob Ross into the, like, landscape paintings.
Yeah, a lot of guys are doing that.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, as an artist, you're not impressed?
Nah. There's a lot of guys adding words to found paintings.
Yes.
So, you know.
Oh.
That doesn't necessarily blow my hair back as someone who reads Juxtapose magazine.
Shit.
Mm-hmm. Used to subscribe.
I used to buy any magazine that had a picture of a girl with a bee on her eye. Does that mean I'm an artist?
No, it means that you have an allergy. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, nothing will make sense. It's very early in the morning. This show, this podcast, has become, basically has just become private comedy shuttle to LAX.
We might as well be driving in a big blue van filled with people from all over the land.
I think someday we will. That's the dream, that we will make enough money with all of our sponsors.
Taco Bell. Numerous sponsors.
Yeah.
Numerous sponsors.
Taco Bell being number one.
Yeah.
Taco Bell, Honda Fit, that one room in the Marriott. Right?
We managed to nail down a sponsorship from a hotel. Just one room in the hotel, but still, it's a Marriott. So
it's from True 37, so it's an homage to The Shining.
One of our biggest sponsors, Room 227. Jack A. Jack Mary. A's goat. What? Can I hear your impression?
Mary. That's what Jackie would say. Jack A. I'm sorry, not Jackie.
I didn't watch too much 227. I was more of a spinoff, the popular Amen guy.
Oh my God, the daughter on Amen used to make me really upset because she was always like, I gotta get a boyfriend. But she was as tall as a linebacker. And as a kid, that filled me with anxiety. I was just like, that really nice pastor of a father is going to be living with her for the rest of their lives.
You have something against tall ladies. That's what we've just discovered. Oh. You think that they can't be loved?
Yes.
Are you sure? I mean...
No, I'm not sure.
A lot of guys love an 8-foot tall lady.
Is that true?
Daughter of a deacon.
People love to get the inside track on a religious family. What if that was my family running the church? A lot of guys say to themselves.
Oh, God. Who isn't saying that to themselves? Gotta get me a tall, hot daughter of a deacon to make this house a home.
A DOD.
Just a single guy who owns his own house looking for an 8-foot tall woman with knowledge of Christ. We're picking up Julian McCullough.
Yep.
Momentarily, and we're going to pick him up at his home, correct?
That's exactly right. Sorry, I'm looking for his...
It's okay. It's one of the technical drawbacks of the show is we actually have to do things like look at maps, look at street signs, not careen off cliffs, little technical things.
Text and drive is a requirement.
There's so much texting and driving. Oh, man, we're racking up so many citations.
Okay, I just need to say this. Why? Mm-hmm. Why does Google Maps or whoever do that? Where if you touch a blue lit address, like, yes, I do want to see where this is on a map. They bring you out to the full view of the United States to show you where it is in the it's
one ever, unless you really have horrible hangovers that could be based on a trilogy of bad movies. You aren't going to wake up in a land that you don't know about with Mike Tyson's tattoo on your face.
But that would even be like, that's like saying, "Hey, I'm on the shuttle. Right. I can't speak or think." I meant like in outer space.
Just try one of those. That's what I've been doing.
Just do the talking. Don't worry about the thinking right
last
now.
Last time I podcasted, I thought about the thinking, but I didn't do the talking. I did, however, do the walking. Talk the walk, but I didn't think the thought.
In that episode, did your ass write any checks?
Yeah, well...
Could you cash them?
Luckily, my mouth could cash them.
Oh, good. Okay. I can't ever remember what who writes and who cashes.
Well, I think we're right. We all know that the saying is, don't have your ass write checks that your mouth can't cash.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, you stick a pen in your butt and you squat above a blank check.
It should be...
You write out an amount and then you go to the bank and with your mouth you go, can you cash this check that I wrote with my ass?
And they'll be like, one moment, sir. Calling the police.
Because they don't... Yeah, they're used to crazies at the bank. I love how angry people get at the bank. I mean, I remember when I was poor as well. But some people just lose their shiite.
Yes, that's very true.
At the bank, in line. And look around for other people's approval. Like, can you believe this, man?
There's nothing I hate more. You know what? Thank you for bringing that up. Because that habit...
It happens at the airport, too.
The looking around to get back me up here shit. There have been times where I've said to people, don't look at me. Don't, like, I'm not going to back you up for this. Because I can't, it's always those people that are just like, can you believe that this person making minimum wage isn't doing every single thing I want right now? Or right. It's like, just go home. You're the worst person.
They are the worst.
Yeah.
I really like it when it happens at an airport. Like, someone loses their mind and and gets what they want because they lose their mind, which I'm never willing to do. I try and play it cool as a cucumber, and then I miss my flight.
Yeah.
But usually the people that lose their shit, then they get on the plane, and they're sitting next to all the people that saw them act like a lunatic.
That's exactly right. There's a back end.
Hey, everyone. Look at the guy that slammed his hand down because he didn't want to pay for his carry-on. Look at him now with his free carry-on.
Yeah, look, which is basically like saying, look at the child dressed in man's clothes.
It's never basically happened. The same as, look at that boy who's made of wood. Who wants to be a real boy.
Look at what a liar he is. Look at how long his nose is.
Oh, this is going to sound good. God.
Is it really?
One of our many sponsors, the Zoom H6. Yeah, it just looks good. All the levels look good. My long Bob Barker mic. Ugh, I don't know whether I want to bend an intern over a counter or neuter a cat.
What the fuck?
It's Bob Barker reference.
Oh, that's right. I never get a Bob Barker reference.
Oh, it's okay.
But if you had come at me with a Wink Martindale personal detail, I would have known it. My family used to watch Tic-Tac-Doe together.
Are you sure it was Doe?
Yes. Didn't you ever see that? It was the one where there would be a dragon hiding somewhere.
And then they all win bread?
Yeah.
Would it Doe? Really a
Tic-tac.
Dragon?
Tic-Tac.
No, I do not recall the hidden dragon Tic-Tac-Doe.
Tic-Tac-Doe. It was pretty great, but Wink Martindale A is the greatest.
Did he wink at the end of each broadcast?
He did. He definitely had a pinky ring.
Oh, wow. Just as good.
And he's the guy that's really good friends with, is it Barry White? It's like Wink Martindale, who is the whitest man in the world, is really good friends with the most soulful man in the world.
Oh, wow.
What the, is this the street? Fuck.
If you're the whitest dude in the world, and you're friends with the most African-American-iest dude in the world, you gotta solve crimes together.
Oh my God, that would have been amazing.
There he is. He's sitting. He's reading a book leisurely.
Oh my God! Look at the
look at him in this cul-de-sac.
Oh.
There he is. Oh man, he's handsome.
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Oh man, he's handsome.
He is.
Yeah, look at him. Doesn't he look a little bit like if Ryan Seacrest was someone you'd want to hang around with?
You're right.
Yeah.
Julian McCullough.
Hi, Jules.
There's your microphone.
Okay, is it on? Test.
Hold it to your face as if you're doing stand-up.
Okay, no problem.
There's your coffee on the
table. Oh, thank you so much.
A lot of comics, Julian, will be on the show, and they wield the mic wildly as if they're more familiar with swordplay than doing stand-up comedies.
Well, I am not.
No. You are
welcome to the Hesby, by the way, my building. It's more of a lifestyle.
It's...
Do you want people to hear that that's your building?
We're moving.
Oh, great.
Yeah, because the lifestyle is not the one that I want.
It's not. Did you guys have to move out?
If your lifestyle is those pants Justin Bieber wears, then that's the lifestyle.
Oh, then I got to get into that Hesby.
Yeah.
Like, do they have a penthouse?
Karen, I don't think you could get into the Hesby.
No?
No, of course you could. They want everybody that they can get.
Of course you could.
Yeah.
Please don't hurt me that way.
Did they have a sign when you moved in that said if you lived here, you'd be home right now?
No, they're not that charming. But they do have a sign next to the trash room door that says hashtag trash room.
No.
I have a picture of it. In fact, go to my Instagram and you can see it. They have, and then they also, in the lounge, it says, there's a sign outside that says don't hate the player.
Wow, hate the lounge?
Is this?
I love that.
I don't know. That's the end of the saying that they didn't put up there, but I love that. Don't hate the player, hate the lounge.
I love the idea that they're trying to make the lounge in an apartment building sexy when it's normally like the weirdest place that you could go in America.
Oh, I know. Yeah, the common area of a. But yeah, no, they're trying to make everything hip. They're trying to make it college for like mid-20s to early 30s people.
Oh, because there's an art school around here.
Yeah, there's a lot. Well, you know what? What I've noticed about this neighborhood, and we're in North Hollywood, if they haven't set this up, is that
I shouldn't have said Burbank. I knew I shouldn't have said Burbank.
This neighborhood is like I don't know how to explain it, but it's like for all the kids that are around here, like, their parents have a hard time explaining to their friends what their kid's doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like at Thanksgiving. Like, I don't know, it's something with dance.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, DJ, but it's not records. They don't do it that way anymore.
But yeah, it's all like dance studios and like bad plays.
Yes.
It's
I've seen some amazingly bad plays in North Hollywood.
And it should, the word Hollywood should not be connected with this part of town. It is not, there's a mountain in between the other Hollywoods.
Yeah, I don't know how they got away with that.
Yeah. You know, North Hollywood on the other side of that range.
Yeah.
Yonder.
It's like if
the
they
mountain
called,
didn't used to be here.
It's like if they called Big Bang Theory Frasier 2. By the way, a little background for you to get that joke. I love Frasier and don't like Big Bang Theory.
Oh.
Yeah.
The only way
it seems random to me.
I feel like I would have to be on a motorcycle, take off my helmet on purpose, and dive off in order for me to like Big Bang Theory.
Brain damage.
Well, I don't know.
Well,
why
here's an interesting stat,
route,
Chris.
Yeah.
Millions of Americans have done just that.
That's amazing.
Taking that exact path.
Yeah, and that's why
brain
it's
damage,
so popular.
Big Bang Theory.
Well, maybe I just need to give it another. Watch.
No, you know what you need to give a watch to? Have you guys seen the video of Big Bang Theory with no laugh track?
Yes.
It's amazing.
Want to see
it. But I watched that before it was so famous for being bad. Like, I was like, why are people, aren't all shows this bad? You know what I mean? Then I realized years later, oh my god, no, this one is like really deserves this.
And it's really bad, but it also constantly wins Emmys. That's what I think is really funny.
Oh, does it win critical awards?
You mean separate from Emmys?
No, like that's what I mean, like Emmys. Like I didn't know it won like actual like.
Yeah, that.
No, you're really good.
The main guy has won the Emmy for lead comedy actor tons of times.
Wow.
Maybe two or three.
Oh my god.
It's almost as if I don't want to like undermine what we're doing here, but it's almost as if show business isn't fair.
Exactly.
Or illogical.
Right.
Or not based on what's good.
Well, how's it feel? How's it feel right now to be on a hit show, Julian? Currently, huh?
Yeah.
Did you see how I brought it back?
That
to
was
us?
Good. I like it. This is fun. How have you guys been enjoying this show?
Oh, terrific!
Oh my god,
it's been terrific.
Life changer.
Who was the last person you took to the airport?
It was James Adomian.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's a cup of coffee in the morning.
We picked up a lot of characters along the way, let's just say.
It's definitely going to be our Big Bang Theory episode.
Oh my god.
And one of our more dangerous. Anytime it's night and the night has fallen, as we say in my goth peer group. do you ever eat a barbecue teriyaki?
No.
We're
still in my neighborhood, so I have not eaten any of these places.
You don't eat at your neighborhood.
No.
This is a new neighborhood to you. Is that what I've just...
This is,
am I
yes,
picking
it
up
is.
On what
I, we've been here for 3 months, and we're leaving.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And we're those people that were like, you know what, people talk shit about this neighborhood, but we're gonna be the ones that are like, you know what, it's pretty cool. Then we were here for 3 months and we were like, we're moving anywhere else.
Have you gone to that movie theater?
I'm moving out.
There's a movie theater right down there that's new, that's really good. I think it's a Lemley's.
Yeah, it's good. That was one of the reasons we thought it would be okay.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, that movie theater's cool, so the neighborhood's cool.
No.
Nope.
And it probably gets hot as the dickens over here.
It does.
It does.
Now I'm just excluding everyone that doesn't live at the beach like me.
You live at the beach?
Yeah, what a jerk.
Well, he lives on the beach.
It is so...
Not a brag.
Oh.
Like... I've already driven an hour today.
Like, you're not supposed to be on the beach.
No.
From 8 p.m. to 6 a.m.
You guys, I'm a sandy-covered hobo. I'm all covered with sandy.
He loved the beginning of Fletch. He wanted to live it. And now he is.
Oh, man. Just the beginning, though. Yeah. I don't like it when he gets all smart-ass news reporter. oh, man. Where are you going, Julian?
I'm going to... you mean what airline are you dropping me off at?
No.
Just kidding. I'm going to Austin, Texas.
Oh!
Yeah. But... Hold your applause.
Okay.
For Red Fest, which is a blue-collar comedy festival put on by Jeff Foxworthy with country music and comedy. And I have no idea what I'm doing on the lineup.
When were you ever on CMT?
Oh, man. You obviously have never watched CMT, or you would just see my face.
The face
all the
of
time.
CMT?
Yeah.
He's like, Julian does interstitials on CMT.
Yeah.
He, like, pops up on the corner.
What am I doing here?
Now that's what I call a commercial.
Button-down shirts.
I am excited to go see what this looks like. I mean, as a comedian, being out of your element can be a lot of fun.
Yes.
But also... Leonard Skinner is headlining, so I'm not above watching that.
Please tell me it's him doing stand-up.
Him?
Yeah.
You're not familiar with Leonard Skinner.
It is. It is the man Leonard Skinner.
Leonard Skinner
doing stand-up.
I would love that.
Yeah,
it would only make me happy.
He's not as funny as that Arcade Fire guy.
Yeah, no.
But anyway, so I'm going to see that.
Alabama all the time.
Also, Morrissey happens to be performing at the same time in the same city.
Uh-oh.
And April Richardson is going to be there, and she got me a plus one.
Of course she is.
No way.
So I'm going to, on stage, I'm going to be like, guys, I'd love to stay, but I have to go to the Morrissey concert, and then they will all murder me before I get off stage.
April's amazing in that when she becomes a fan of someone, she stalks them to the point of friendship.
Yeah.
It worked.
And she becomes... She's friends with all of her favorite musical artists.
Yeah. Well, that says more about musical artists than it does about April.
Yeah, it does.
I disagree.
You're like, I think it says a lot about April.
It's a huge accomplishment. It's what everyone's trying to do.
I know.
All of the time, and she's getting her done.
April's wonderful.
She's hilarious.
I feel bad because she always asks me to do her podcast, but... her podcast isn't convenient for me because it's not also a ride to the airport.
That's right. See, we've really hit on something.
Really have.
And I felt bad the last time I did April Richardson's podcast, a name I obviously have trouble with. My tongue just did it.
You still have some sand in
your mouth. Yeah. Oh, man, living at the beach. You know me. Cough, sand cloud. Saved by the Bell, you have to watch, and I... For some reason, I grew up with disdain for that show.
Yeah,
it seems
you're
like
older than that group.
Yeah,
I guess just barely. Yeah,
When I did her podcast, I watched it like I was an alien observing. You know,
was it very difficult?
It's stupid.
It's completely unwatchable.
It's like old men that were friends with Aaron Spelling that just were writing in the voice of what they thought teenagers sounded like.
Yes.
So they're saying things like, "Don't be a curmudgeon, daddy-o," or but they're supposed to be in high school.
Yeah.
It's great.
I was of the age that I was supposed to be to enjoy that show, and I wasn't above it. I just didn't watch it for whatever reason. I just didn't like it.
Well,
and then I tried to go back later because all my friends were, like, nostalgic about it, and I was like, I cannot nostalgify this.
Nostalgify.
You can't fake that kind of nostalgia stuff.
No.
I'm nostalgic for things that I didn't necessarily like, but when I grew up, there was only, like, you know, whatever, 8 channels. So, like, I had to watch, like, Spider-Man.
Did you watch a lot of Spider-Man?
Oh, God. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
I want there to be a spinoff called Spider-Men.
That was...
It's many, many, many Spider-Men.
That's usually how spiders work.
That's a Friends joke that still holds up.
It really?
I think it's Lisa... I forget who says it first, but they call him Spider-Man.
You're kidding me.
And Chandler goes, "He's not Jewish."
Spider-Man.
Oh, one of the better jokes that probably got even ignored on the laugh track.
Can I say that I saw Matthew Perry in person?
Yeah, recently.
It was not too long ago, like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually, I know the date,
but
it doesn't matter. That's not why. But anyway.
Is it have anything to do with that tattoo on your wrist?
At valet.
Uh-huh.
And if you're listening, that is not fancy in Los Angeles. Everywhere has valet.
Standard fare.
Jack in the Box has valet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm waiting for valet at the Chateau Marmont.
Ooh.
And,
if you're listening, that's not a fancy.
Not at all.
It's not fancy at all.
It's not a flop house for all of Hollywood's elite.
So we're standing outside the hotel Well, it's me, and I just look over, and it's Matthew Perry, and, like, I was not expecting my bodily reaction to standing next to Matthew Perry. I didn't know how much I loved him until I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, my God, you actually matter to me.
Aww.
And, well, you know, it's comedy.
Sure.
And I've never seen, I don't know if he was acting,
uh-huh.
but I've never seen a man give off a vibe of, like, nobody talk to me harder. It was incredible. It was like tangible. You could like reach out and touch.
Well,
he didn't want anyone to talk to
him. I have reliable sources. One of them used to be his assistant. He's an unlikable lunatic. So there you have that. Yeah, she didn't. One of his sources is an unlikable lunatic. So I'm not going to.
She says he's delightful.
She says he's terrific, and that's why I've got a picture of him with a heart around it.
He's a lunatic
above my bed.
I wonder if he was a lunatic before Friends.
Well,
no,
he was a child actor. Jesus Christ!
Good Lord!
I didn't know that.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, you're fine.
Is everyone going to stop?
You're doing great.
Yeah, you're doing great.
And now we're stopped on the freeway.
Yeah.
He was a child actor because I remember him on some weird sitcom, like as a teenager, going, that guy's really funny. And then when I saw him again on Friends, I was like, he made it.
Yeah.
And I was like proud of him. But I also think
if you're listening at home, this is a Google game.
It was that show where the dad was a coach and he had like 10 kids.
Oh.
It may have been called Just the 10 of Us.
Just the 10 of Us.
Oh, you're kidding.
Could have been 8 is Enough.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It was a sitcom, 3-camera. But I was thinking about this the other day.
He was in Just the 10 of Us?
He played it was a one episode part where he was dating the oldest daughter.
Okay.
All right.
I can't believe they made Just the 10 of Us when we all know 8 is enough. Come on, you guys. I don't know. No one ever high fives anymore.
Not in the car.
Yeah, by the way, that was Chris tried to get a high five.
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn, this deviated septum. It sounds like I'm cartoonishly snorting. I just want to say to anyone that's listened to more than one podcast, that I had a botched surgery.
Yeah, aww. Chris's nose job went south.
Well.
And now he looks like Liza Minnelli.
I asked for the Liza Minnelli.
He wanted to trade being devastatingly handsome for a deviated septum, and he said, absolutely.
give it over here.
There was a compliment in there, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure.
I told the guy I wanted to be the first human Mr. Potato Head, and I just want a detachable nose that occasionally I can put an ear on. He's like, not in my office.
But my point was, don't you think it sucks to be one of the Friends? That sucks.
It's terrible. It's harder to be one of the Friends writers. Did you hear about that? That like they
no.
all got
86?
Every single one of them got like every opportunity after that.
Oh wow!
And they just and got so much money and all that stuff to like create shows, and then none of them win.
They all blew it.
I don't know that all of them did, but I've heard that when that writing staff. Started is this kind of podcast or do we not talk about Insider? So that entire writer staff got paid so highly for all our like scripts and stuff,
uh-huh.
and none of them went. That it kind of like lowered every studio's price for writers after that.
Oh, you're kidding!
To, like, yeah,
because
they were like the chicken
no
of
like
Montreal.
A hitmaker. That's that thing where they think, oh, you're from here. Well, then you're gonna give me a hit.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so ridiculous.
They're like, thank God this job is so easy. I can just...
Which is it's that proof of like, there's no one person at a show that makes it good.
No.
Including like
other than James L. Brooks.
James L. Brooks is the only one. And, well, maybe there's a handful, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah.
The other writers of Cheers.
Mm. Anyone from Cheers, including PAs.
Speaking of like bad shows when we were children, I was like crazy. I had that relationship with TGIF that only children can have with a TV when they aren't happy at home.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're like,
the latchkey relationship?
Yes, I had the latchkey relationship
so did
with TGIF.
We.
Yeah.
And so my affection for those things were through the roof. I mean, I really was like, Balky is mine. And So when I, and then you don't watch, I didn't watch it, you know, when you're a teenager in college, you don't, like, go back and watch, I mean, maybe some kids did, but, like, I never went back and watched this. And I was, like, 28 the first time I tried to watch Full House again.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe I was so wrong.
Yeah.
I actually was, like, mad at my 8-year-old self.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I don't care that you're 8.
Yeah.
How did you fall for that?
People have that real experience with their actual parents, too. Like, if television raised you, you're going to become a teenager and think it's a nerd, too.
Yeah.
Just like
yeah.
you're just like your dad.
Well, because the things that you let the things that, that entertain you.
Oh, you're
you
saying
as
I'm rebelling against Full House?
Yeah, yeah.
I got older.
You're, fuck you, Michelle.
You became 28 and then
polite
you
polite police my dick.
Full House. You're not my real dad.
Well, look at this. Is that a hawk?
I wow. That's an American goddamn bald eagle, Karen Kilgareth. And suffering from some sort of a inner ear infection. Aww. I don't think look
can
at
you
that.
See that, Julian? It's
look
a
at
huge
that's a fucking
bird
hawk.
Right there.
Look at that big ass hawk.
I can't see it.
Oh, yeah.
Neither can anyone listening.
Why? Why?
Yeah, if you're listening, you're like me in the backseat of a Honda Fit.
can't see shit.
Anything except right next to you.
Honda Fit, when you want to focus on the car seat in front of you. Honda Fit.
Yeah, Julian right now is staring at the back of the head. Julian, just a tip, because we are new to podcasting. Uh-huh. Would you like it if I was back there next to you? Like, making eye contact? And, or
I don't know. Turn around. Let me see your face. I don't know. It looks like it could be fun. But let's do it for the next one.
He looked me right in the mustache.
One octave higher.
Oh, there's a painting in the back seat.
That's,
oh, shit.
Oh, God, we don't know how to give gifts. That, Julian, is your painting.
That's your painting.
That's
like
right.
A painting?
We yep. just found that in the parking lot at Starbucks.
Hope you're willing to bring on an extra carry-on.
I'm so excited that I got a real painting.
Well,
yeah. Well, I mean,
it
it's
is.
Not, not a
I
real
mean,
painting.
Pull it over and take a look. I think it might be a real painting.
It looks like it might be. I'm not saying this for comedy.
It is
like
a
Matthew
Pacific
Perry.
Islander boy.
Could you imagine if it was?
What the
Could you describe that painting
Could
for
you
the
describe?
Listeners?
No. Okay. Okay. It's. Let's start. I'll Antiques Roadshow this painting.
Okay.
Great.
I'm so glad you brought this in today. I can't believe. I mean, what a gift. So this is an oil painting from, I would date it to the late 2010s.
Mm.
And it's a portrait of a man by the esteemed artist. There's no signature on this.
I can't believe
Well,
it.
Actually, it was my father gave it to me and I watched him paint it. How much is it worth?
Give me money.
Don't you know how Antiques Roadshow works?
Now
there's
it's...
suspense before the money.
They're clearly told to not ask how much it's worth.
No, this looks like a guy... It's okay, so it's just to give people an understanding. It's a man painted in front of a deserted island.
Yes.
He's standing in front of the ocean, and then behind him is an island. And then there's a beautiful sky with clouds that have... words in the clouds. The clouds are spelling the word love.
Mm-hmm. Out
think.
Of cloud letters.
Actually, I want to say love, but I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. I think it might be oye.
Which means what?
No, it's love.
Okay.
The sun is the L. I didn't get that yet. Okay. And he's looking up at the word love in the clouds. The man in the front. And he's wearing a t-shirt that looks...
The sun is the L. God, now I hate it.
Yeah.
Just make all the letters
a,
cloud.
A, B, A equals B equals C, a perfect triangle on his t-shirt. I don't know what that is. I left this detail out. It's the most hideous painting
it
I've ever seen.
It is the worst fucking painting I've ever seen in my life.
Eye of the beholder, I think it's gorgeous.
You know, art, it's so subjective.
Yeah, I think somebody painted this after they saw The Beach, but with Leonardo DiCaprio, and it made them feel...
That's what I said, when I said earlier I live by the beach, I
just feel.
I just lay in an alley next to a copy
this,
of the
This really is, I feel bad. This is one of the worst
the
paintings I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Well, it's yours, it's yours.
It's yours.
And I've seen John Singer Sargent's work. Hey!
I love his work.
I know, he's so unanimously great.
We've run into a little traffic on the 405 going south.
Shocker.
Here at the 101. I do periodic traffic updates. Julian, what do you think of that? Dead dove on the left shoulder. Watch out for that.
Is there a dead dove?
Yeah. Oh,
it's a pigeon. It's a couple pigeons.
Oh man.
Oh,
and then
dead
pigeons just start falling from the sky.
Windshield wipers.
I wonder if those pigeons were battling and they killed each other.
On the freeway.
Yeah.
Pretty great. Julian, let's talk about Austin for a second.
Yeah, did you know I used to live there, Julian?
I didn't know that, but your head definitely looks like it was spawned from Austin.
Yeah, the top of my head is definitely the center of Texas bred. No, that's where I did start doing stand-up. It's a great town. I don't know if you've spent much time there. You're going to love it.
I was there last year for South By.
Uh-huh.
And, I got a ticket. I got a ticket.
Jaywalking or?
No, not wearing
to
a jean
Celine
jacket.
Dion. Oh.
Yes. Good one.
Oh, man. They really love their denim there.
Now, Julian, are you the kind of person that's all about barbecue and you're going to drive 2 hours out of town to get some barbecue?
To go to the Salt Lick?
I used to be a few years ago because I was like, everybody was doing that. And I was like, yeah, me too. And then I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Barbecue always makes me feel sick.
Yeah.
Is that the thing nobody's talking about?
Yeah, no one's talking about how I don't know if I can drive back home because I have to immediately take a nap in this dirt parking lot.
Yeah, it's really, really devastating to my body.
Yeah, me too.
Barbecue. And I'm not trying to be gross either. It's more of a sleepy state.
It's your body telling you you've done something wrong. You're not supposed to eat 13 pounds of different types of beef.
But your brain is like telling you, like, there's no carbs, but
right.
That's not enough.
Yeah.
To make up for it.
Oh, that was cool. I thought you were going to kiss that guy. I thought you were going to pull a pit maneuver on that Tundra.
I kind of wanted to just bump him a little bit just to say, hey, fucker, because he wouldn't let me merge, but then he really took his time to pass us.
You know, the Tundra is the most inhospitable landscape on the planet. And Toyota was like, and we have a 4-cylinder pickup truck with 2-wheel drive that can handle that kind of thing.
That's terrific.
Do you like beige? How about maroon? Get into the Tundra.
I love car names. I wish I could name all the cars. It would be really fun to name cars.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Ooh, that truck is a Ford, but they took the FR off, so it's just an Ord.
Oh,
which
wow.
Is a much better name.
Maybe it says F with the sun. That's a reference to that horrible painting.
We found the author of the painting, I was going to say. Terrible.
The author.
Terrible.
What do you do for a living? I write paintings.
I write paintings.
I write the word love into paintings.
Do you have any plans while you're in Austin? Like,
oh, by the way, I watched Antiques Roadshow last night, and it was this woman bought a painting for $100 in only 7 years ago. And it was worth $35,000.
No,
oh, you're
way,
kidding
why?
Me. How is that the case?
Because it turned out to be circa 1890 painting by a name I can't remember, but it was a one of the only famous African-American painters.
That's so awesome.
And she found it in a junk shop. And it still had the, like, red sticker with the $10 on it, or the $100 on it.
Oh, my gosh.
On the frame.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
You can just... I hope that the pawn shop owner or whoever she bought it from was watching. And
well, that's what you get
crying.
For being racist and not knowing your obscure African-American
that's right.
oil painters.
You are racist if you don't know your obscure African-American painters, by
racist.
The way. If you're out there listening and you can't name one obscure African-American painter, why don't you put on a hood, you grand wizard?
Read
Dragon?
A pamphlet.
What is it? Grand wizard? Read a pamphlet. I don't care if it's about, you know...
Well,
Planned Parenthood.
I told a Holocaust joke on Chelsea yesterday, and boy, did that not go over.
Those people are very
It was
sensitive.
A good one. It was not like a shocker Holocaust joke. Basically, this guy was on the show, or this guy in the news, he's a cab driver in New York City, he's Dominican, and he's also a Nazi and was wearing a Nazi armband.
Oh,
and
wow.
He got suspended.
Of course he did.
From driving the cab. And he says in the interview that he denies the Holocaust. And I said, in his defense... if you deny the Holocaust ever happened, then the Nazis were really just really organized and had great jackets.
Uh-huh.
And the crowd was like, no.
Boo.
Oh, come on.
No, they didn't boo. They were confused.
Yeah, they just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And so it came off as offensive.
Right.
Oh, man.
Because they were like, we think their boots were better than their jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It was E.
It was E. It was a bunch of girls who were like, what about those shiny boots?
Is he not going to talk about their boots?
The knee-high boots were amazing. who else was on that round table?
Arden, you say her last name.
Marine.
We saw her the other day.
Oh, my God. We must have seen her right after she did that round table.
Yeah,
because we were at the 101 Cafe, and she was there.
I always want to read her name as Mirren.
But
it's Marine. It's
definitely
Marine.
It as Mirren, but people say it as Marine, so I assume.
Yeah, it's Marine.
That's why I said that.
And then also Jeff Wilde, who's a writer performer on the show.
Oh, okay.
So what should I do in Austin, Chris? When was the last time you were there?
I lived there about 5 years. I haven't been there since 2003, but I know it's changed a lot.
You haven't gone back since 2003.
That club still sees me as a feature act.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wait, I haven't been the Laughing Skull?
No, Cap City. Laughing Skull's Atlanta. That's another club that won't have me. I'm just going to talk about how my career is tits up.
Let's do it.
Yay! Used to get more work. Now I get less.
Name the bookers by name.
Well, God, sinking it with Chris and Karen.
No, it's you're going to love it. You got to go to the Velveeta Room just to meet the local comics. Because they're all going to be nice.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of the Velveeta.
It's fun. It's a historic place where it's like, you can walk in and go, this is the first place Chris Fairbanks did stand-up.
Ooh.
And
historical.
Yeah. Historical. Wow. Yeah. And,
it does smell like leather.
If you...
I assume you smell like leather, Chris.
That's all I wore. I head to toe, I was leather.
He was a Michael Jackson impression for a long time.
Yeah.
Before the comedy kicked in.
Oh, God, I was
Chris,
so limber.
Do you remember your first joke? That worked?
My first joke was about a bulldog that I live with that used to bite my feet when I slept. And
you just lived with it?
Yeah, my roommate's dog.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
No, he was there when I moved in.
Craigslist.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
There's a label on her door that said hashtag bulldog. No, when I'd sleep, I'd wake up and he'd be biting my feet. And I don't remember the joke, really. I think my roommate would say, well, he senses fear. And then I said, well, I guess I got to sleep with more confidence.
Oh, that's
And
good.
I used to tell that, and the audience would just, you know, pick me up and parade me out in the street because it was so...
such a good feeling.
Austin, 2003.
And try to get back to that material.
Yeah,
maybe they'll
I should.
You.
I think my first joke was about the strip clubs in Austin and how overindulgence of different senses because they... Not only had strippers, they had, like, free steak and football, and there was a day you could bring your kids, and so then I'd act like a monkey on a strip pole, and then I'd climb the pole and eat a banana. It was very physical and horrible comedy. The end.
That's why I asked.
I have some questions.
Okay, yeah. Terrific.
Was the monkey stripper for the kids?
It was, no, the man was so... overindulgent in all the senses that he just lost his mind and became a primate.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty...
It was kind of searing commentary.
Yeah. It was commentary about men and their desires.
I see.
And then at the end, I said, you know, those guys just have a Jesus-shaped hole in their heart. That's what I'd say. I wish we weren't talking about my early comedy.
Now, Julian, I want to
kill myself.
Yeah.
Well, here's what will make you feel better. Now you go, Julian.
Oh, yeah. Man. I wish it was monkey good. It was mine, as I recall. The first one that worked, because I can...
Oh, I didn't know we could do that. The first one that worked.
You've already done two.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, I remember vaguely talking about topics before I got a joke that worked. I talked
doing
about
some
like
topics.
Yeah. I just remember like talking about never having clean clothes in college and like where in the hamper you're supposed to steal your roommate's clothes, dirty clothes, to get the dirty clothes that are gonna not infect you with diseases. It was very. You have to be my age exactly to get these jokes.
And
right.
And perhaps have an OCD type of disorder.
Yeah, it was very bad. The first joke I told that worked was actually a letter that I wrote to my estranged mother. And I read it. I said, I haven't seen my mom in years, and I'm going to send her a letter telling her all the things I've learned since the last time she saw me.
And then I would was read this the meant letter. To make the audience cry? That makes me sad.
By the way, I had no concept of how I was perceived in any way
for
the first year of stand-up.
Yep.
So I was like, this isn't sad, right? And
no big deal.
And I remember I was still so nervous that I would, when I would take the quote-unquote letter out, because there was nothing on it, because it was fake, I would be shaking.
Yeah.
I would be visibly shaking.
Oh, that's
and the
funny.
Only thing that could show that is paper that you're holding. So instead of getting less nervous, I just made a joke that I would say every time that I'm not nervous right now. I bought shaking paper from Staples.
Oh, no.
That's a great... I like that joke.
And that line was the first on-purpose laugh I ever got on stage.
Nice.
This was 4 years into doing stage.
That's terrific.
I used to do an impression of a cheerleader auditioning for a Shakespeare play.
You grew up around people that were much cooler than me and Chris.
We didn't have cheerleaders or Shakespeare in my high school.
Yeah. But no, it was just a trick. It's the thing that makes me cringe about it is it's the claptrap kind of comedy that you see people do where it's like, get ready, audience, I'm about to recite something.
Karen, did I see you do this on a rerun of America's Funniest People?
Yes, I played, I have a tape of this. This bit got me onto America's Funniest People.
Did you do,
was it in Venice? Where you were on a beach? I remember seeing
No,
this.
It was in Sacramento. This was when I lived in Sacramento.
Sacktown.
So we were in Old Town Sac.
Doing in Sacramento?
They travel the country. That's how they got, it was America's Funniest People, so they would just go to malls.
Oh, yeah.
And just get anybody. And I ended up making it to the finals.
Who was the host of America? Was that Dave Coulier?
Dave Coulier, yeah. And Calliope from Days of Our Lives, the kooky blonde lady, mm-hmm. When I was on it. I made it to the finals with my hideous, stupid thing, which was basically...
Can you do one line?
It was just me doing a Valley Girl voice, but reciting...
Which Shakespeare did you do?
The queen from Henry V.
Uh-huh.
Foul devil, for God's sake, Henson. So I'd be like, foul devil, for God's sake, Henson, trouble us not, for thou hadst made the hat, whatever. It's just, it's so unoriginal. It's just taking one thing and laying the opposite thing over
it.
It
was a mashup.
And
it was girl talk.
But it shot me straight to the top of show business because I got flown to... L.A.
From Sacramento?
Wow.
This was also... this is...
Coach?
Yes, from Sacramento. By Coach. Myself. Uh-huh. And I made it to the finals. Didn't know I made it to the finals till I got there. Till the show happened. And, of course, So I was, 20 or 21 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was horrified. But I, was doing it because I had nothing else to do and, whatever. So when it was I made it to the finals, I was just sitting there I knew it. This is horrifying. And it's me, a 4-year-old girl, who tells this joke. What did the farmer say when he lost his tractor? Where's my tractor? That's her joke. And then a guy...
I really like that joke.
And she just says it's super... She said it's super deadpan.
No charisma.
With a really hilarious Midwest accent.
Okay.
And then there was an old man dressed as Gabby Hayes... who did a strip tease to Can't Touch This.
Oh my god, that guy had to win.
Oh, he won big time.
Oh,
that
wow.
Was, it sounds like that was the year when that would win.
He won, and the 4-year-old girl came in second place.
I remember.
I essentially lost.
I think that's the episode of what I saw.
If you came, I have a tape of it, and
lose to Where's My Tractor?
You're
not four?
People are looking at it going, she's just doing a Valley Girl voice over Shakespeare. That's not original.
Can I tell you something? People watching America's Funniest People were not thinking that you were, they were like, well, she is magic, but I don't know.
How did she do that with her voice?
Yeah.
How did she talk like a teenager when she's clearly 20? And also, it was the people, it's the studio audience that votes. So I was sitting in the studio audience. So literally, people next to me were just like, oh, that Gabby Hayes was hilarious. And voting right in front of me of there was no question that they loved the most.
Did they do that thing that they do after comedy clubs where they go, I thought you were the funniest as they were leaving?
It was totally one of those where I was the one where they were like, we don't know what she's doing here.
Yeah.
Punk rock, the punk
by the way,
rocker.
By the way, you were doing Shakespeare in their defense, and they don't want to hear that.
No.
In any form.
It doesn't matter what voice you use to sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear it.
I'm going to start telling that tractor joke.
I don't get it. I don't get the tractor joke. I'm still...
It's just, it's a non-joke. It's
like a
new...
Norm MacDonald joke.
Oh, okay.
It's anti-comedy. Yeah, she influenced
Actually,
Norm
I have
McDonald.
To take that back now. Norm just got really mad on Twitter that people called him an anti-comedian. He said, every joke I've ever told, I sincerely believe is funny, or I wouldn't tell it.
Oh.
So I just want to go on record and say I don't think he's an anti-comic, but he can make... The problem is he can make anything funny, so everybody's like...
Yeah, that's right. It's just, know. It's the voice.
Yeah.
The when voice you're in good. Austin, Julian, you have yeah. to go to Hamilton Pool and go swimming. That was one of my favorite memories.
Are these things you did when you were a child?
No.
Are you telling me to do things that you were
no.
doing as a child?
You know what?
Go to the library and get a library card.
There's a story time.
You guys do
There's
the...
A nice lady.
You think that adults don't swim? Is that what you guys are saying?
Oh.
Not public
Why
pools.
Why are you so defensive?
All right. Never mind.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard
Austin
anger at a Chris Fair
Fair. Go to Austin,
anger.
Sit in your fucking hotel room, and don't see shit.
Yeah.
You sounded more mad than when you were talking about your career.
Enjoy fucking Larry the Cable Guy's audience. Sit in your goddamn Marriott and don't go fucking swimming.
Oh,
and
man.
Don't ask me advice as to what to do in Austin, Texas.
Yes.
A town I know very much about. I can't stop yelling. I'm done.
So I'm done,
you guys. No, don't go
I'm
to Hamilton.
By the way, I'm holding in all my farts for my appearance
Seriously.
In front of Larry the Cable Guy's crowd.
Yeah, that's really one of the risks.
I'm just going to fart into the microphone.
On stage.
I thought
you meant right now.
No. Well, I am holding them in.
Yeah, oh, good, thank you.
For you. For my performance.
Nah, fucking let her rip. Let him rip.
Rip him right into
let's
that
Let's spice
mic.
This podcast up with a little...
farting.
With a little farting.
Belief.
Yeah, the ultimate spice. I don't know what to do in Austin anymore.
That's all right. I don't do anything anyway when I go anywhere.
Yeah, neither do I, but it's nice. What? Do you know where you're going to be staying? I mean, it depends on that. If you're downtown, just walk around
I'm at the airport. I'm staying at the airport because the festival is near the airport.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Both of those items are bad news.
Did I leave out that this festival is in Terminal 37? In Delta? Yeah.
Oh, man, you won't really be hanging out in Austin that much.
No, I will. I mean, I'm hoping April will take me around. And
oh,
show
yeah,
me,
yeah.
And show, oh, I don't think it mentioned.
So tell us about the Sam Elliott-type biker that your mother used to date. I know I'm going out on a limb assuming that a person like that exists.
I don't know what you're talking about.
My...
Why
you
would
really,
you bring that up to me?
You really no-ended me there. My mom dated a guy that lived in a van that she met in AA, and one of his ears had been cut off in some sort of a fiasco. So he had one ear. His name was Dale, and I liked him, though, because he had tons of Van Halen shirts.
Oh.
And
right.
He didn't stay in the house like her other suitors.
Was this guy the funniest dude in the world because he lived in a van and it had Van Halen shirts?
I wish that he made...
That is some concept humor right
if
there.
If I had made that pun, he would not have recognized it. We're going to take, Century Boulevard West, headed towards LAX. Yeah, that Dale. Oh, man. Why? My mom felt bad for him and, you know...
So
he was a nice
him?
Guy. Yeah, yeah. He was from Butte, Montana.
Now, are we sure that...
By the way, if you live in a van, the best sex you can hope for is they feel bad for you.
Yeah. Pity sex.
Yeah.
The reason that she had sex with him was some kind of bumper sticker that talked about that van rocking.
Oh, yeah.
That was... She's like, well, that turns me on.
She just needed a ride. She couldn't ride for free. That's what she knew.
Yeah, if this van's a ruckin', please still come knocking. I'm super lonely, and I'm willing to meet anybody. I'm probably just inside rocking the van.
Like, I don't have grass, and I don't have gas.
It looks like nobody rides for free. I definitely have this ass, though.
There's always this ass.
And whoever owned this van previously had an honor student at Morristown High School.
I don't understand your Suzuki behavior. Get the fuck out. Oh,
yeah,
no. Oh, good. This
Somebody
is
had a really good joke about the Suzuki Samurai. I can't remember what it was. About the name of, like, such a crappy thing. As, like, the most fearsome warrior that a country ever created. It was very funny. Guys at home can fill in your own punchline. But that's the premise. And that's how you do comedy. Yeah. This is like color by numbers. Give you the ingredients and then
you
make
the dots, then you have to fill those lines in.
Yes.
You mentioned
Connect the Dots was a way better example of what I was trying to describe.
Well, you were talking, it's easy for me. I was just thinking.
No, you're obsessed with the brands of cars and you want to have a joke about every kind of car.
I do.
Yeah. Oh, no. You should hear my Aztec material. But we have to drive by an Aztec.
Well, I will say
Tahoe.
My favorite car name of all time is the Pontiac Vibe.
Oh, yeah.
They used to hand out Pontiac Vibes if you won the Comedy Central Laugh Riots contest.
Is that real?
Up until the year Martha Kelly won, because she sold her Pontiac Vibe and made a bunch of money. And they're like, wait, that didn't work. I don't know why they didn't like that, but they quit giving away the car.
Wow.
Yeah, instead it was a money amount. I don't know what that money amount was because I did not get first.
So did they assume that people would just keep them and drive them and then?
I don't know. Who wants a Pontiac Vibe, especially the early models? Remember, they looked like a suppository.
Yeah. No, there's been some hideous cars. The Aztec is amazingly bad.
You know my least favorite car?
Well, that's the Breaking Bad car, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, that's the only reason I remember it. It's because I've been
Aztecs,
reminded of it.
Fearsome warriors. Yes. Also a fearsome warrior. Much like the samurai.
Yeah.
Commemorated with the worst cars.
Did you ever hear the thing about in the 70s they tried to export Chevy Novas to Mexico and they would not sell? It was like the number one car in America, but they would not sell in Mexico until finally someone told them. In Spanish, Nova means no go.
Oh, wow.
That's and pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrific.
I love that story.
I thought it was like a astrological type word.
Nova?
Or a space word.
It is a space word, but
it's space word.
No, if you break it up, no and va.
Well, that's like no the go. Same thing happened with the Honda. Dios mío.
Oh, if I could just drive myself a brand new Toyota iCarumba. I'd be a happy man.
I think the iCarumba would sell really well.
Oh, we're already here, Julian.
I know.
I mean,
you know, when you're doing a podcast while you're going to the airport, it really reduces the anxiety of missing your flight.
That's what we like to hear.
That's right.
When's your flight?
20 minutes ago.
Oh, no, well, yours.
Turns out I woefully misunderstood how far I would live from the airport.
The Hesby told you it was only 10 minutes away.
That is
have
not
you ever
the
had a podcast
time.
Where you drove the person to their destination?
Yeah, all the way to Austin?
Yeah.
Oh, we are going to do that once. It'll be a very special road trip episode.
Yeah.
We're going to really have
7 hours.
Jack Kerouac on the way.
Hit that guy.
No, my flight's at 9.
Oh, yeah, you're in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes these cops stop us and we have to interview them. I hope that's okay with you.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to just so they don't think we're weird, I'm going to put down the microphone. Yeah, I'm just going to put down the mic. Hello, officer. Nothing to see here.
Yeah,
he had a look on his face.
If we aren't suspicious, then who are they stopping?
Yeah, exactly. If you have microphones.
We're made of pot.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Maybe they could tell your facial hair was ironic and you weren't going to bomb a plane.
Yeah, they're... Well, you know what? The funny thing about having a mustache is cops do, like, nod at me.
Yeah.
Like, if I look over...
That's awesome.
They're like, hey, how are you? They just... I mean, not that I'm also a cop, but they think at least I work for the city.
Yeah.
You must be a civil servant in some way with a mustache.
Yeah, that's a...
Oh, I'm United, which is the P7, the furthest terminal.
Okay.
Oh, that's okay. There's always a little shortcut that you can take.
Yeah, we're not taking that shortcut.
We're not going to take that.
Nah, you know what? Let's do the whole roundabout.
LAX, the great equalizer.
Be careful, our vertical clearance.
Beyonce or Julian McCullough.
Does Beyonce come to LAX?
Well, I used to think that was... That no matter how famous you were, you still had to, like, check your bag and stuff. And you don't.
No.
And not even if you... There's something that a lot of people don't even know about where... it's not, if you don't have a private jet, there's a security clearance where they just, like, take you in through the side.
Yeah.
if you're famous, which I didn't know about, and is very annoying. And I wonder what your IMDb page has to look like before you get to do that.
Right, right. How many?
Like, where do they draw the line? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where,
yeah. What number does your star meter have to be at?
Yeah, I think they do it by clout score.
I used to travel a lot with Ellen DeGeneres when I worked for her, and she had private planes, and I wish it never happened, because anytime I come to the airport,
you can't deal
to travel for myself. It's just like, I just know the difference.
Yeah.
Like, of literally driving your car up to the plane and getting on.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can do that here?
No. It's like you go to a weird...
an airspace, in Van Nuys.
Out by where you live, there's one in North Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of by the Burbank Airport. It's just, like, so convenient.
Signature?
And great.
Oh, it's called Signature.
The one we always flew was, like...
are you saying a private jet is preferable?
I mean, I know this is crazy. Just let me tell you four more anecdotes. Hey, gas-powered shuttle.
Yeah, come on. Just because you're helping the environment doesn't mean you have to be a prick.
You really... That shuttle just, shouldered me.
I like that on this podcast, you will seamlessly transition into arguing with a driver.
Yeah.
And the listeners have no idea...
can hear it.
...that you've changed the subject.
That's right.
This microphone here picks up all asshole motorists.
When I worked for Ellen DeGeneres, this motherfucker doesn't know what they're doing.
She went out on a limb.
Julian, while you're in Austin, you have to go to the... Get out of the way, you cocksucker! It's beautiful this time of the year. Ah, nuts. I could have done a better example. Get out of the way! Nissan Juke is my new...
Oh, my God, the Juke!
That's my new least favorite.
Oh, Nissan Juke!
Where is that from?
Oh, Juke means this.
A Nissan Juke is when you talk to somebody who has worked for Nissan, and they say, actually, it's Nissan.
Oh, God, that's
Wait,
the
that
worst.
Wait, is that
true?
It's Nissan?
People
it's
will Nissan correct you.
Juke. So it's a Nissan Juke.
Well, Nissan.
But it's not. It's a Nissan Juke because they didn't do it correctly to let people know how to pronounce it.
No. Yeah.
Long ago, they didn't do their work.
And yeah,
we get to say what we want.
It's like Arden Marine. It's Arden Mirren.
Yeah.
It's Mirren. It's also that thing where they keep trying to say it's pronounced GIF, not GIF.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And it's
that's
it's absolutely pronounced GIF because you don't get to change it now that everyone pronounces it GIF.
Oh, and I don't Jesus like that. People. Nissan. I'm not going to say.
No.
That you're confusing it for a cup of noodles. That's a popular cup of noodles brand, Nissan.
Nissan?
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it made by the same company?
No, it's spelled a little differently. I can't remember how. Someone out there is listening, and they're going to tweet and go, Chris is right.
Oh, then I better go. That's wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
You're full of shit.
Twitter's going to be an uproar.
Did anybody see, last night there was a tornado warning down near Long Beach. Did anybody see that crazy black cloud that was over L.A. yesterday?
I saw it. Yeah, I was walking my baby, which sounds like I have a dog. But I was walking with my baby, and I saw the cloud, and I was like, I'm glad we're together for the end.
Yes, it seriously looked like doomsday.
Oh, that'd be the worst way for your baby to get taken away. Not your baby specifically,
tornado?
But just a person.
Oh, I feel a lot of people have lost their babies to tornadoes.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Well, right now I'm going to make light of it on a podcast. You know how many
trigger warning.
Someone just walking with their baby, and then the baby goes in a baby tornado, sucks up the baby, and they just are standing there, and they don't even get knocked over.
And it's now the it's most a baby adorable tornado.
Yeah. just a tornado.
It's just taking golden retriever puppies and babies out of
and
people.
Just a giant funnel filled with pacifiers and blankets and puppies.
Yeah.
And Lunchables. have you ever seen the video?
It didn't destroy my house, but now my house smells like milk.
there's jelly everywhere.
It's all sticky.
It's the stickiest tornado. There is a video that I really love. From the early days of viral videos, and there was a tornado, so it's a dash cam of a cop car.
Uh-huh.
There was a tornado, and someone's baby got taken up in the tornado. So this cop pulls over because he thinks he sees something over, on the side of the road or whatever. And it's this dash cam shot of the base of a tree,
mm-hmm.
and he walks over and. From the base of the tree, this baby sits up covered in mud,
mm-hmm.
and the cop looks like super freaked out, and then the baby just puts her arms up and the cop picks her up, and she is totally doesn't have a scratch on her. She's covered in mud.
Oh my God.
It's like the most gives you the chills amazing thing of like somehow.
Wait, does the video also show, is the backstory the tornado, or it shows her getting picked up by the tornado and dropped?
No. It's just I can't remember how the backstory gets conveyed.
Oh, okay. But
perhaps
she was placed there by a tornado.
That's how she landed. She landed, like, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that crazy? And she is totally fine and was, like, looked at him and just started crying and put her arms up. And it's like a 2-year-old baby.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. A toddler, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't. That scares me. Tornadoes are scary. And in Austin, they used to say, oh, there's a tornado coming up along the freeway just right through town, taking all the exits, mm-hmm. and just heading towards my house. And many times I had to get in the bathtub.
Taking all the exits?
I just going along the freeway. One time it was going along the frontage
road. Like it was getting off at every exit and then back on the
and
freeway.
Yeah, yeah, and signaling.
I just want to see. Yeah. I hear it's such a cute town.
Oh, is that a Hardee's?
Well, time to get back on the main freeway off the frontage road.
Is that Hamilton Pool? I hear that's a good pool.
I didn't know what to do. They warn you and then no one knows what to do. It's like bear attacks.
Yeah.
Do you lay there? Do you run away? Do you hit it with a stick? So I ran out and I started hitting the tornado with a stick.
Good.
No, I just got in the bathtub.
I have a friend who was hiking the Appalachian Trail and saw, and he looked up. He was, you know, because you're in like it's such a long trail that like you just like get into a trance and you're just like looking at your feet. And he looked up at one point and he was like 20 feet from a bear that was like 3 times bigger than he was.
Wow.
And he was like, it was just standing in the middle of the trail. And he was like, his whole body just went stiff, you know? And he was like, oh, okay. And it's like, he's like, I had that moment where I'm like, wait, what do I do again? And he's like, nothing came to me. Like, I just couldn't. And the bear gets up on its 2 legs and then sits back down on all 4s, walks up to him, and he just is frozen. Like, he cannot move. And the bear comes up and sniffs his body and then keeps walking.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he is the luckiest person on the planet.
Yes.
Oh, that's the worst.
That's got to be the scariest thing ever. Like, after that, breaking up with somebody is...
Oh, my God.
So easy.
Are you taking a picture of that teabag party on sticker?
Yes.
Oh,
that's crazy. But they went to Berkeley, so nothing makes sense on that card.
What's a teabag party
It's a tea party sticker with a teabag with an American flag as the little paper, and it says party on.
Oh, that's like one of those...
I know.
I'm having one of those moments where I never realized why they were called the Tea Party until now.
Tea Party. My bigotry is a good time. Party on, Tea Party.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, that is the only awkward part of Antiques Roadshow when it's always like, this Confederate gun is worth $40,000.
Well, my
because of all the racists.
they want to commemorate.
There was one... Last night was a very special episode because the guy had a sword of a United States Army soldier, who was his great-great-great-great-grandfather, who switched sides to the Confederate side and had the sword engraved by a jeweler that with, like, Confederate, like, symbols and a saying or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Because his thing was, like, I'm taking my U.S. Army sword. Like, basically saying I'm taking my sword from the right side of history and getting it engraved with the wrong side. And it was worth a phenomenal amount because it showed, like a determination to be a Confederate.
Shit.
And
he was like, this is very special. And I'm like, yeah.
Special's one word for it.
Yeah, you got to watch the way you get excited about something when it has to do with horrible moments from our past.
I like...
This is a beautiful piece because slavery...
My dad was he worked for an auction house in San Francisco and he would go to and clean out estates.
Ooh, that's awesome.
And he found a secret room with all the stuff. And there was like gold teeth and skin lamps.
Oh my God! Skin lamps.
And they had to call the cops and have it get taken. And he's like, you know, those things are worth like a shitload on the black market.
Yes.
But like my dad wasn't gonna do that. He also had, I'm not gonna say the celebrity, but he had to clean out a celebrity's house after he passed away, and found kid stuff.
Oh no!
Oh wow! Let's not talk. Let's not say.
It.
Oh wow!
Oh,
he
thank
burned
God.
It all. And so that guy's legacy is still intact because of my dad.
Oh, wow.
And I'll tell you who it is after this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then we should have listeners guess who it is.
On Twitter. I'll tell you on Twitter. Because that's
look, I don't
want to
say it here. I'll tell you on Twitter. What I like on Antiques Roadshow is...
is that Roger difference? Sterling?
God, he's beautiful.
Oh
I don't
God.
Know who that is. I want him to fly my plane.
I want him to.
And I'm not talking about flying a plane, if you know what
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Yeah.
Would that specifically mean hand job?
Yeah, no, suck my dick. I mean, I wanted him to suck my dick, that man.
That man. I was just going to say, I like the difference on Antiques Roadshow between British people and American people, because British people, it's like, it would be the most humiliating thing in the world for them to want the money.
Oh,
they
yeah.
always pretend like the money doesn't matter,
yeah.
or they try to anyway, and they get so embarrassed. And
yeah.
literally, Americans, they're like, it probably, if you know, after appraisal or whatever, at auction, it would be worth probably $800. And literally, people are like, oh. Americans
yeah.
are overtly crestfallen and don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They look like greedy bastards. And British people are always like, they're like, it's worth $95,000. They're like, really?
They're like,
really?
Well, I've always liked the lines.
That'll buy me a lot of tea.
That's what they say.
Wait, is this the Monty Python British?
Oh, I do. I'm a man in a dress, and I want to know how much this vase is.
I think you're thinking of Nanny McPhee.
Oh, I'm thinking of Fran Drescher's The Nanny. Well, that's where I'm going. I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to England. It's funny.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going there tomorrow.
For what?
A commercial for the Mini
Cooper?
Countryman. It's a bigger Mini.
Oh yeah.
And therefore the premise of the commercial is that it's roomier. But I have a ride. Isn't that ironic?
Are you serious?
I have a podcast where we give rides, but tomorrow I think I'll be taking a Lyft or Uber.
You should,
I was about to offer, but you live so close to the airport.
Yeah, it would be silly.
It would be...
Wait, you live over here?
Yeah, I live in Venice.
So you... Wow. You are dedicated to this podcast.
You didn't have to tell me to stop, sir. I'm a decent human being.
Yeah. And yeah, let's...
I really hated that. Yeah. But he told me to stop. And then Douchebag Jones went...
Oh, he's going to get so mad that you undermined his authority and went behind him.
Well, he didn't have the right to tell me to stop when he didn't know where I was
yeah,
going.
Yeah, exactly.
So how about that?
How about those apples?
You know a guy works out when those vests aren't supposed to be tight?
They're supposed to be all baggy.
Oh, man. I think he works out with the... Oh, yeah, that guy is ripped!
So how does this... How does this end?
Usually with awkward silence.
Okay.
Dear Lord of all vessels that fly, let Julian get to Austin. Amen.
This is the best ride to the airport in my life, other than the time I got a Lincoln Town Car.
Shit, we should get a Lincoln Town Car.
That would be awesome.
That would be fun.
And you wore hats?
Yeah, like little suits.
That'd be great. Well, thank you guys.
Of course, Julie. Have fun in Austin. Sorry I wasn't very clear about what you should do, but you'll have fun no matter what you do.
Oh,
it's a fun town.
Wow, well, with that kind of positive thinking, I think you're right.
You're going to have fun no matter what you do.
It'll be great.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye. Good to see you, Julian.
Bye. Hit the button.
Oh, okay, this one.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.